unfasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome into the Eric Ainge Show. It's Thursday here, which means it's only 2 days until it's football time in Tennessee. Appreciate you tuning into the EA show. Brian Rice, myself, EA. Brian, how was your day yesterday?
It was all right. I had to finish clearing out the basement so our buddies from Frazier's can come in and put carpet in my entire downstairs today. And then over the weekend and into next week, I'll move the home studio down to a new office in the basement as we get ready to shift things around here at the house. So Wednesday all around.
Nice, man. That's good stuff. It's raining today. I'm not a big fan of that, but it is for sure fall weather.
Yeah. Nice and cool. I had to get out early this morning and take my car in for regular service, and it was pouring, and then I got out of the car, and I said, wow, all right, should have worn more heavier jacket. So, but it feels like football, right?
That's right. It's football time, man. 2 days until we get to play a little ball.
Yep. And a lot of football conversation coming up as we take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right, Jeremy Pruitt met with the media yesterday and was on Vol calls last night and was on the SEC teleconference. So a lot of stuff from the head coach of the Volunteers yesterday as he gives some details on how they're prepping for South Carolina, what they expect coming up on Saturday night in Columbia. The Gamecocks yesterday unveiled their video. They're going to wear all black, which did not work out for them in 2014 when the two teams played over there. But cool unveiling video that they did regardless. But we'll run through some of Jeremy Pruitt's comments as Tennessee gets ready for South Carolina. It's a big week for high school football. Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com will join us coming up at 9:30. Here's an interesting one. In the world of college football, Houston has had four different season openers scheduled. None of the four have been played. They've all been canceled due to COVID-related reasons.
Ew, that's terrible.
They just found out yesterday their fourth one was canceled.
Oh, brutal.
They were supposed to play North Texas. Not great. Dana Holgorsen had some things to say on that. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll take a look at what the predictions were from the media as far as order of finish in the SEC, and we'll make our own predictions for those. It was Florida in the East, and it was Alabama in the West. The pick of Florida surprised some. I will run through some of the reasons because I think you and I are on the same page. We both are probably going to pick Florida when that rolls around. I certainly
will. We'll see what happens. Okay. We'll see what happens with the season, and it's nice that we get to play, you know, several games before they have to play. But you know, I think it was David Ubbin posted some stuff from the recruiting, the difference.
Yeah.
You talked about it a while back, the level of recruiting that Georgia has and how it's even compared to Florida, it's significantly higher.
Yeah.
But I don't think that alone shows the full spectrum of where Florida's at, if that makes sense.
At least for this year, I agree with
you. For this year particularly. I mean, they have the best quarterback and tight end in the conference, and on the recruiting trail, both of those positions would be edge Florida. But I don't think it's edge Georgia. But I don't think it really is an edge Georgia. I think the tight end and the quarterback position are definitely edge Florida. So it's, you know, recruiting matters, but production once you're in college obviously matters more.
So we'll look at those numbers. Greg Sankey, we talked about some of his comments yesterday that were a little closer to us, but he had a statement on the scheduling yesterday when he joined JOX in Birmingham, and then he was on the SEC teleconference as well. I think he made some good points about scheduling, and it kind of was a corollary to what he said about some other rules. It's, you know, you guys voted on this. Somebody was going to be mad. Bruce, we'll tell you what he said, because I think it was an interesting insight into scheduling and something that I've thought for a long time. Deion Sanders, we did not get a chance to talk about this earlier in the week. Deion Sanders has been named the head coach at Jackson State. Eric, I see this either going really well or really poorly, but I want a reality series on it either way.
Yeah, I mean, there was like some misreporting on what his staff was going to look like. And did you see that? Did you see what the initial report was of who he was hiring?
Yeah.
I mean, it was hysterical. It was like Terrell Owens at wide receiver. I mean, it was like an all-pro NFL team.
Yeah.
And most of which limited to zero coaching experience.
Yeah. And then Deion said that wasn't true. And I think he had led Jackson State to believe that some of those guys were coming. So that's anyway, it's going to be something one way or the other.
It'll be a follow. Yeah, it's a follow for sure. I mean, watching you hire Deion Sanders, I couldn't have told you anything about Jackson State football. I guarantee you, I'll be able to tell you more about Jackson State football. There was even five-star players like a guy we're looking at, the Mims kid, offensive tackle. I forget. I can't say it for his first name. Amarius, maybe?
Yeah.
Mims?
Yeah.
Anyway, he got an offer from Jackson State, which is, there's no way he's going to go there. But he even tweeted out, hey, glad to get an offer.
Thanks, primetime.
Yeah. I mean, it is Deion Sanders. I mean, he's one of the cooler former players. And I was actually really impressed with him watching that his son's team's offense against Catholic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Week one, he did a really, really good job. I was really impressed by him. So, who knows? Maybe he'll be good.
Yeah, I think there are some. He needs a strong, strong administrator on his team.
Oh, yeah.
And if he does, he could be successful. We'll talk about that more coming up because it's fascinating. The Heat took a 3-1 lead over your Celtics last night. Competitive game, though. A lot of fun to watch.
Shot for shot, down the stretch, both teams made runs, and the Heat was the Heat are really, really good. I don't know how they didn't have more success during that. I mean, this is the epitome of peaking at the right time because they look like a team. Like, I watched the Lakers play and the Heat play, and I think the Heat will give the Lakers all they want. I mean, they're
going
to win the series up 3-1. I mean, I don't have any faith that the Celtics are going to win.
I think there were several clips posted last night of Pat Riley talking about some guys about a year ago, including Tyler Hero. And what he said a year ago is now coming to fruition, talking about his background and how he's rolling with there. So I think it's a lot of fun to see them play. Unfortunately, we would like for Grant Williams and the Celtics, and you certainly have more connection to the Celtics than any of us, but it's been a good series to watch. And, I think ultimately they will win it, but that is it. So we'll talk about that coming up. We'll play a little Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. What the SEC learned by watching other leagues' teams play. This is an interesting story that Andy Staples had in The Athletic. How did the first few weeks of college football help the SEC ensure that they'll have a more successful launch starting this week? We'll take a look at that. And Thursday night football, it's a battle of Florida. I don't think there will be a line at sports bars to get in to watch this one, but we'll take a look at what's coming up tonight regardless. All that and more coming up today on the Eric Haynes Show, and that's the game plan that's laid out for you by 42nd Street.
42SD.com, your brand is everything, and if you own a company, what people think of you when your business is said, the name is set. First off, do they know your business? Have they heard of you? Maybe not. You need to make sure you're right and tight online. Make sure that your brand is up to snuff and it's accurately representing what you think of your company and what you want people to think of your company. All of those things are conversations that have to be had. It's an awareness factor, and then it's a dedication to being consistent within your branding and messaging of your company. All of those things can be helped with different tools and services from Mike and his team at 42nd Street Design, 42SD.com.
The Eric Haynes Show continues next on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into The Eric Haynes Show. Joel Silverberg, Brian Rice, myself, EA, 865-656-9900 if you want to join us.
All right, Jeremy Pruitt yesterday had some details on South Carolina and his prep and Tennessee's prep for the Gamecocks this weekend. Asked about some of the concerns about the season opener because of their unique training camp and not being able to get in kind of the traditional work they've had, not had having full scrimmages. We talked earlier in the week about what Jim Chaney said about how few traditional practices they'd been able to have because of contact tracing and some other things. Jeremy Pruitt said, no, we've got to play with aggressive, knowing that we'll make mistakes in the game. We've got to play with confidence. Don't turn the ball over. Get turnovers. All the coach speak. Create explosive plays. Gang tackle. Score touchdowns when we get in the red area. Keep them from doing it. That's what wins and loses games. We've got 60 minutes to prove that we're the best team on Saturday.
I mean, I hear that, and it's right in line with what I was saying, which is, and I usually phrase it as this is a Maxims football game. When you're the better team, even if it's slightly, when you're the better team and it's early in the season, being good at the basics of football, blocking, tackling, establishing the run, stopping the run, staying ahead of the sticks, not turning it over. Even if you are a very vanilla, basic punt and play good defense, run the football, make some first downs, flip field position, you don't have to go score 50 points in the first game, especially if that's not going to be your MO, if that's not going to be your style. I think that this team is going to be a run first, run second, run third type football team, and we're going to use what we've got, and that is the strength of our offensive line. With or without Cade, the offensive line is the strength of the football team.
Yeah. And I think what you've seen thus far is guys that have had trouble holding onto the football from the running back position. Eric Gray mentioned earlier in the week that they had done a lot of work on that and trying to get the running backs some contact, so hopefully that won't be a problem for Tennessee like it's been for some other schools. But I do wonder to what extent they've had to be careful in going contact, not wanting to get guys hurt, considering how many guys you've had out with contact tracing and how much work some of those guys have been able to get as you go into Saturday. Now, look, South Carolina's dealing with the same things. They're dealing with the same issues. They've had players out, and they've had limited practices, and they've had a different schedule. But it's all about who handles it better, I think, and we've seen vast differences in that over the first few weeks of college football.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to see that with Tennessee this weekend too. I mean, South Carolina can do that to an extent, but I don't think they're going to be able to just come whip us up front, run the ball, and let Colin Hill just sit back there and throw some play action or some quick game or take a shot every once in a while. I think they're going to be in some third and medium, third and long situations. They're going to have to be ready to drop back and throw the football, and that's tough.
Yeah. And it will continue to be, I think. It's going to be an ever-evolving problem slash issue for schools all year long, getting into some of those situations, getting into some of those, trying to get in the flow of it. And we'll see who's better at it on Saturday. But Jeremy Pruitt said, not worried about it because, or I don't know that not worried about is the right way to say it, but not as concerned about it because They've been focusing on fundamentals. They want to continue to focus on fundamentals, and he thinks that's the best way to win, particularly early in this season.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%, man.
He was also asked about special teams and how much work they've been able to get on special teams with so many guys out. He said, quote, the one thing that we got to do was a lot of walkthroughs during July, so we took advantage of that. But there's nothing like live reps and special teams. So getting in as many guys there and as many opportunities as we can, that's what we've been focused on. We've seen, again, through the first 3 weeks with other schools, special teams play has been spotty, and there have been a lot of big returns, allowed, and some mistakes on handling the football. Do you have concerns about that going into this weekend for Tennessee?
I mean, you always have concerns in week one about ball security on both sides of the ball, you know, like chainsaw ripping the ball out on defense, strip sacking the quarterback on the other side. The little things that you can do to get the ball back are just as much a concern as your ability to take care of the football. You know, you go live the best you can in practice, but the other team, your teammates do not hit you and hold you up and let other people come and gang tackle you and try to rip the ball out like you do in a game. So keeping the football for the running backs, keeping the football for the wide receivers, quarterbacks, ball security is always a huge concern early in the season. And then, you know, I'm not as worried about decision making with JG and throwing the ball to the other team. I'm sure that'll happen a little bit as the season goes. I mean, no one plays perfectly. He's going to throw the ball to the other team at some point. But you hope if it happens, it's early, and you hope it's in their territory enough that you don't set the other team up for a cheap touchdown or field goal. As long as you can, I mean, you can withstand a turnover or two in that regard. This team, though, is just good enough to be competitive if they are minus one in the turnover battle. But if they're even or plus one, then I think they win a lot of games that they're going to play. I mean, they've got to win the turnover battle. Last year, that was the number one stat that determined winning and losing football games. I mean, we won a couple games where we didn't win the turnover battle, like the bowl game and another one. I mean, it might have been Vandy or maybe Kentucky. I'm not sure. But we, in all the other games, especially those first couple early, we lost the turnover battle, and guess what? We lost the game.
Yeah, you can't do that this time around.
No, nope, you got to go at least it needs to at least be a push. You know, even if we turn it over twice, then we need to get two turnovers from them if we want to win the football game. The turnover battle is going to be the number one stat here in the first couple weeks for sure.
Welcome back, 656-9900. If you want to join us, Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com will join us coming up on the other side on the Eric Haynes Show.
Welcome back into the Eric Haynes Show. It's 9:30 on Thursday. It is a high school football day. And so we welcome in Jesse Smithy with 5-Star Preps on the Stanley Fitzing Gates Hotline. Jesse, what's up, brother?
Not much, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's a rainy Thursday. We got some high school football tonight. But before we talk about tonight and tomorrow, catch me up on last week. What'd I miss?
What did you miss?
I missed – oh, actually, I didn't miss Powell Central. That was an incredible – Powell, they're legit, man.
Yeah, that game got pushed along pretty quickly. It was scheduled basically on the middle of last week in week five, and they got to play it on a Saturday. So I talked to Powell coach Matt Lowe about just how hard it was to cobble together game plans and schemes and everything for that kind of game in just a matter of days. We're talking 2 or 3 days to put together your game plan, implement it in practice, get everybody confident in it and familiar with it. And look, both teams struggled just a little bit in terms of what they typically do best. But on the whole, I mean, you got to tip your hat to Powell, what they did offensively, even though they didn't throw the ball as well as they typically did in that game. they still found ways to score with their ground game, having two defensive scores. Their defense had been kind of eaten up at different times during the year, and it really came to play on Saturday night. Had two goal line stands, and like I mentioned, those two defensive scores that they had, they blocked a punt, and they really, really kind of cemented themselves, if they hadn't already, in the 5A state title contender conversation.
Jesse, I had the opportunity to see Farragut on Friday night fill it in for Vince, and though they had that loss to West a couple of weeks ago, they just looked really, really strong, even without their head coach on Friday night. The balanced offense and a punishing defense that put up a lot of points on a Morristown West team that had only allowed 7 to that point in the season. Where do you think Farragut can be going forward after having bounced back from that West game?
Well, we're going to really know a lot about where Farragut will stand in the grand scheme of things over these next few weeks. They have a difficult little 3-game gauntlet coming up with Maryville, Science Hill, and Dobbins Bennett, and all three of those teams are legit this year. And so it's going to be it's good that Farragut's playing his best football right now. Obviously, the situation that's going on with head coach Eddie Courtney and his health, that's the priority for this football program. They want to make sure their head coach is okay and well, and it's not going to surprise me in the least to see Eddie back out on the field very, very soon, just because that's the nature of how he goes about things. But secondly, this team has grown leaps and bounds from that loss over West, and we have to keep reminding ourselves, whether it's high school football or college football coming up, of just all the difficulties that these teams have faced in regards to their lack of preparation time that they're typically used to. So some of these results that we saw in weeks 1, 2, and 3 maybe aren't true indicators of what a team is. And now that we're dipping into week 6 waters, we'll really get an idea of the identities of these teams and what they might be come October and then the playoff weeks in November.
Jesse Smithy, 5starpreps.com, our guest, as he is each and every Thursday on the Eric Gaines Show. The game that we have as our game of the week this week on the Sports Animal is Carter at South Doyle. Carter's been to overtime twice and already seemed to be a lot better than they were a year ago with a new head coach against a South Doyle team that has been one of the most consistent in this area over the last few years. How do you see this one?
Well, Carter, I mean, like you mentioned, it's just a really a few points away from being undefeated. And who would have thought that coming into this year, like you mentioned, with a new head coach and still pretty young in certain spots, especially at the quarterback position. Chandler Wilson's just a sophomore, even though he did have some playing time last year. He had to adjust to a new coach and do that really with no spring practice and no scrimmages or 7-on-7 work. And to see them sitting here with one loss on the schedule is really impressive. And there's a lot of positivity, a lot of momentum around this Carter program right now. And the same can be said for South Doyle. They looked terrible in week 2 in a shutout loss to Grace Christian, a team that they just ransacked the year before. And we really didn't know what South Doyle's offensive identity was at that point. They're trying multiple tailbacks, trying different things. There's players out and hurt, and there's this kid named Sean Gary who they've plugged in the tailback position. He was a guy that's going to be in the secondary and possibly playing wide receiver for them this year. They put him back there against Anderson County, and South Doyle is running wild now. The guy's averaging about 200 yards a game over his last two games. He ran for over 200 last week against Sevier County and 4 touchdowns. He has natural running back ability and instincts. And, I mean, just looks the part, and it's just totally changed the course of South Doyle's season. So it's a meeting of momentum, if you will, between these two teams, and no doubt going to be one of the best games of the night.
You're talking with Jesse Smithy from 5-Star Preps. Jesse, through a few weeks of football, what are we better off or worse off than you thought we would be with COVID? The amount of games that's affected, canceling them. And I know you talked about preparation. I think it's affecting everyone on some level with a preparation standpoint. But where are we with that in regards to high school football?
Locally, I would say we're better off, even though we are starting to see a slight increase in and games being canceled or postponed or moved or what have you, I didn't think we would make it to week six of the football season. I'm just being honest. I mean, if I go back to how things were being handled in July, the fear that was present in on the table and in the rooms of the decision makers of what this could possibly look like, and even in early August, I just thought once the kids get back in the school and we see maybe 2 to 3 weeks worth of data come out of COVID cases, I thought we would take a giant leap back or a giant step back, but we haven't. And so while there have been certain schools that have had COVID shutdowns for a week or two here and there, I would say 90 to 95% of our schools locally are still moving forward without any issues at all. And that's a positive sign that we're going to complete this regular season and get into the postseason. And will there be instances where a football team that has a good chance of winning some playoff games may not be able to play? Absolutely. We saw it just this week with high school golf. Halls High School is one of the better golf programs in the state year in and year out. And their players weren't able to play in the postseason, and their season's over. So there are going to be those heart-wrenching stories like that. But the goal was to get a football season played somehow, and I think we're going to get to do that. Now, statewide, I mean, you still got shutdowns in Memphis City schools, Shelby County schools, pretty much have postponed it for a while, and I don't think they're going to get to play, and that's sad to see. But it looks like we're going to finish this football season. So that's more than I thought we were going to get to do this fall.
Jesse, speaking of COVID-related issues, you had a story up at fivestarpreps.com that is unfortunately something I've heard from a lot of parents around this area, is how difficult this has made recruiting, particularly for kids who were juniors or going into their senior year, that it's had some attention but not a lot. Didn't get to do the camp circuit this year, haven't gotten to take visits. Now they're tasked with the prospect of finding a school and schools finding them when the dead period's going to extend through the early signing period and possibly into the second one. What has it been like for some of these kids that you've talked to that are in that situation?
It's frustrating. I mean, as you would think, and I talked with Isaiah Cox a little bit yesterday. He's the number one player in the class of 2021 in our rankings, and just a tremendous prospect. He had offers from Ole Miss and Vanderbilt and Arkansas and a number of other schools around the country. And not only was I wanting a recruiting update for him as to what he might be thinking or when he might be making a decision, but I asked him, I was like, just how crazy has it been to go through this recruiting process during the COVID era? I mean, it's already a stressful thing for a high school kid to go through a recruiting process and trying to figure out your future as it is. But then you throw this wrinkle into the situation and it amplifies it even more. And so we talked about some of the virtual tours that he's been given, how much more he's having to listen to what recruiters are telling him or the vibes that he gets with certain coaches and those relationships that he has with certain coaches. And it's an uneasy feeling for him and for a lot of guys that I've talked to. And I hope the NCAA is a little more lenient on its transfers in the next year or two, because they're going to be, I think, we already see the term transfer portal used quite a bit on social media and in stories. I think that gets even more pronounced over the next couple of years as these kids who weren't able to take recruiting camp visits or on-campus visits, they're going to get to some of these campuses and immediately know that they're not meshing well with what it is, and they're going to want out. And there better be a little bit of a safety net there, some type of leniency that the NCAA gives. And I know that's asking a lot from the NCAA.
Jesse, what do you guys have coming up at fivestarpreps.com as we go into this weekend? Where will you be for Five Star Live and everything you have coming up this weekend?
Five Star Live is going to be at the oldest rivalry in the state, Harriman and Rockwood, this Friday night. So really excited about that.
Shout out Roan County.
Roan County.
Right. it'll be my first ever trip to that game. So I'm so excited about it. And there's great people in both communities that I know, and just really, really counting down hours until I get out there tomorrow. Today at noon, we'll premiere our game film documentary on Oneida. And I've watched this probably five or six times during editing phases. And I'm going to tell you guys, I tear up every time I watch it, every single time. And if you're a fan of Oneida, you're going to love it. If you're not a fan of Oneida, I invite you to watch it on our YouTube channel at noon. And you'll be able to chat with us beforehand or during the show. And then we'll post it on all of our social media channels after. But it's a must watch, and can't wait for the public to get to see this.
Jesse, we always appreciate your time each Thursday. Look forward to following all the action at 5starpreps.com. And we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right. Thank you, guys.
It's Jesse Smithy, 5starpreps.com, and his appearance each week is brought to you by Henley Roofing.
HenleyRoofing.net for over 50 years, well over 50 years, approaching 60. They've been the go-to commercial roofing company in town. Find out more at HenleyRoofing.net.
The Eric Haines Show continues next on FM 99.1, the Sports Anthem, to play. The Memphis game would have been a conference game, of course, being in the American. Memphis has been rescheduled, but yikes.
That sucks, man. I mean, that for the players especially, like, you know, coaches, that's one thing. But for the players, you know, you're going through four game plans. You're trying to get yourself ready to play. You're so excited. You've been through this entire offseason of craziness. And then, boom, taken from you four times.
Yeah. Dana Holgorsen had voiced his frustration yesterday before this happened. By saying this, quote, unfortunately, those games weren't played, but it's 2020, and we're used to this crap, so we're going to get ready to play North Texas. And now they're not.
That's brutal.
It really is. I mean, they've just
At some point, they're going to go through the process, and they won't even – they'll stop preparing as hard. I mean, as a player, you can only get ready and then not get to play so many times before – you stop preparing so hard.
Yeah. They are scheduled to play Tulane next week. If I'm Tulane, I'm putting everybody in bubble wrap, because it seems if you're scheduled to play Houston, you're in trouble.
Are all of these cancellations due to the other team?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the kicker, is they all four postponements have been due to the opponent. It had nothing to do with them, and they will they're scheduled, as I mentioned, to play Tulane next week, then BYU on the 16th, then at Navy on the 24th, and UCF on Halloween. So they have a pretty tough slate, including a couple top 25 teams, as the rankings are scheduled now, but now they're down to 9 games in 9 weeks. Or excuse Jeez. Me, 8 games in 8 weeks. 8 games in 8 weeks.
I mean, still, that's like, golly.
Yeah.
No bye weeks. Every week you got to play. Now, I know they don't play teams that are as good as them every week, but they still play, probably half their games are against comparable talent.
Yeah, at least.
Comparable,
I mean,
yeah.
You're talking about UCF and Cincinnati that are ranked in the top 25. Mm-hmm. They have a non-conference game with BYU, so, yeah. I mean, it's just, and they already have one American game that has been postponed. They have not announced another date for Houston and Memphis to make up their game, but they may try a little later on in the year, because the Americans' conference championship game is currently scheduled for what was originally championship weekend. They may bump that back like some other conferences have done. Baylor's athletic director took exception to the tone of Holgorsen's comments about their canceled game. Because he said, quote, in my opinion, it's not professional, but we'll move on and we'll move forward, unquote. It seems like these two teams will probably not be playing in the future. Holgorsen had said this about the cancellation with Baylor, quote, I don't know how it gets to 22 hours before the game. There's a reason why our conference and the Big 12 test 3 times a week. So I would think that our opponent kind of knows where they're at, just like we knew where we were at. We had 5 buses out there. hotels lined up, and our equipment truck already parked at the stadium. Unquote. Holgorsen said that after he had tweeted a picture of Houston's equipment truck already outside Baylor's stadium in Waco.
I mean,
I don't think cancellations are cancellations. I get it. And canceling it on Wednesday is very different than canceling it on Friday like Baylor did last week. We had already gone off the air by the time Baylor canceled the game with Houston for our last show of the week.
That close to kickoff?
Yeah.
That's like, what, 24 hours or so? 22 hours?
As Holgorsen said in the comments, 22 hours before the game. The equipment truck was already at the stadium. They were getting ready to roll out the buses to head down there. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
So I don't think Holgorsen, far be it for me to defend Dana Holgorsen too much, but I think he was right on when he made those comments, and I don't think Baylor's athletic director really has a leg to stand on to say no. We all understand cancellations in this day and age. We certainly understand them, you know, if you're a school like Houston that's been on the short end of it then three times, now four times. But, yeah, it's got to be now. It's got to be Wednesday when you make a call, not Friday. Friday's going to be too late.
Friday looks like you are scrambling and trying to find a way to not play the football game. That's what it looks like. I mean, I know that's not maybe the case, but it sure comes off that way. You know, like if South Carolina doesn't have the players to play, they need to have said so by now.
Yeah.
They would know. I mean, with the length of time people have to go into isolation or quarantine or whatever you want to call it, you should know how many guys you're going to have available 2 days before you play.
Yeah. And it, you know what? If things change when you test on Friday, maybe you have an argument, but it just – because they're testing them on Friday to play on Saturday. If suddenly those tests, you get a bunch back positive, then I can see where it changes it. But I'm with Daniel Holgorsen. I don't know how the number changes significantly going from Wednesday to Friday. You could have at least said, hey, we may have a problem on Wednesday. And I think if I'm sitting at a league office – I'm putting that in and saying, look, if after your Wednesday tests you're worried about where you are, we'll go ahead and make the call. We don't want a school to be sitting in a hotel in any city altogether with tests coming back that you should have seen coming, basically. Just kind of where it is on that. We'll come back. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Coming up as the show goes along today, when we return, Eric, I don't know if you saw the full SEC predictions yesterday made by the media, but we're going to run through those and give our predictions as well. We had a little robust discussion on Georgia and Florida yesterday.
I think that Florida, quick version, is probably the team to beat, but I think it's really, really close. At worst, they're even, both teams.
We will flesh that out coming up in hour number two. And talk about the SEC schedule as well. Deion Sanders taking over at Jackson State. How successful could that be? How much of a disaster could it be? Either way, you're going to want to watch it on TV. A little on the NBA. We'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia coming up at 11. And what the SEC could have learned by watching other leagues play over these first 3 weeks as we head into the first week of SEC football. And boy, doesn't it feel good to be here. Thursday night football preview as well. All that and more coming up. We have 2 hours to go on the Eric Haines Show on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.